This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey everyone, good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I've been joined in the studio this afternoon by
Christine Wong.
Arvinia Braj.
We are going to be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. You lucky people, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Now, the morning has shifted from a gloomy grey morning to now a gloomy grey afternoon. And that's going to be with us, I imagine, for the next couple of hours. But we've got a topic today that might lighten the mood, and we could probably have a bit of fun with it when we're discussing it, about people who are slackers, right? And the question is, what is your initial approach to working with a slacker? You can let us know via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Arv's got more details on that coming up in just a couple of minutes. And then we'll be talking about a pivot of a bus company. They've gone from delivering people to delivering something else entirely, then wrapping up with
no, the AstraZeneca vaccine registrations are not open yet.
Right. Big news.
That's all coming up in a minute. So how was your break then, folks? What did you get up to? Anything?
Good break.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of nothingness, which is exactly what a break should be.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Christine?
A lot of Netflix.
A lot of Netflix.
Watched the Snyder Cut of Justice League over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Did that take up your whole weekend or like all 4 days?
Very close. Had to like, you know, ration it out, right?
Uh-huh. A lot of Netflix over this side as well. I watched Aquarius starring David Duchovny. And then I started watching Love, Death and Robots as well, season two.
Yeah.
Well worth a watch that for certain, for sure. Anyway, enough about our random ramblings about what we've been up to. Let's talk about slackers. Arvin, why have you chosen to speak about slackers on our first day back into the office?
Because of the sleepy weather.
Uh-huh.
So it's completely understandable if anyone wants to be a slacker today at this point. So there's this very interesting piece on Harvard Business Review that asks a question, when you're stuck working with a slacker, what do you do? Like, how do you fix that situation? Like, what if you you find yourself having like lopsided workload, or you find yourself doing other people's work, or you're stuck with someone who isn't doing the work that they are supposed to be doing? So how do you fix that situation? And they've given a few steps. It's a very long article, so you can go find it on our podcast page once this goes up. But I'll try to condense it as much as possible. So they say that the first step is to diagnose the problem. You need to assess the situation to pinpoint the problem and its root cause. So like, why is your colleague falling short? Do they lack the bandwidth or the ability or the resources to do the job? Do other people see your colleague's underperformance as a problem? What impact is it having? And is it a new situation? So answering these questions will help you figure out how to address the issue. And remember that you're not going to be able to change your colleague, but you need to identify what you can do to change the situation. So you're not going out there to like change someone's like default traits and stuff. The second thing is be introspective. So reflect on your own behavior. Basically, it's asking you to understand that when we mess up, it's because of forces that are beyond our control. But when it comes to others, we believe the opposite, that everything is in their control and they can fix themselves.
Right.
So don't have that sort of bias. Are you sending signals that are threatening to them? So that's another thing. So even if it's not your intention, your actions can imply that you are smarter or faster or more energetic, or your skills are more in line with where the organization is heading. If that's the case, they say that you must figure out ways to remove that threat by putting time and energy into making the relationship better. And your message to this person is simple and straightforward, which is together we'll do the job a lot more efficiently than if we do it solo or individually.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing is to talk to your colleague just straightforward, like directly. If you're comfortable and friendly with this colleague, then ask them anything, if there's anything going on, if something's wrong in their lives. You might learn that they have difficulties working outside of the working scope. So maybe like family problems and things like that. So this might be a phase that you just have to ride out, or you just have to be patient with and wait. So be compassionate to those problems, you know, understand other people's like difficulties. But also they say, remember that this is a stopgap measure, not a long-term solution. So it shouldn't be like you're forgiven being this way for years and years on end. It's like, you know, so how long do you need? 3 months, 6 months,
right,
whatever it is. This one's interesting. It says that talk to your boss, but be very careful. It says that you really shouldn't complain to your supervisor about a colleague because it makes you look bad and it makes the supervisor look bad for not being able to manage these situations. You seem like a whiner, someone who can't manage relationships well, and it also makes your boss look bad. So they say that if you do go to the boss, make it about your work and not about your colleague in question. So don't make it about people. Make it about, you know, you having difficulties finishing your tasks and stuff. Another option they say is to bring it up during performance reviews. So as a way to explain why certain projects were not up to par and you know, your sort of challenges when working on those projects. A couple of others that they outline, invite others in. So another way to change the dynamic of your relationship with this colleague is to invite another person into the work. So inviting a third party into the project changes your chemistry and builds trust. So think about who might make a strong addition to your relationship and how they might contribute. So pick someone who has a dynamic that's very different from yours and the quote-unquote problematic colleague. And if they can't officially join a project or a team, then something as simple as doing lunch on a regular basis might fix the problem and help both of you see things from a different perspective, because now you have this third person there just like mixing up chemistry and mixing up the situation. Finally, they say stop covering for them. Don't enable an underperformer. It's good to help other people, but covering for someone else's mistakes or lack of ability, quote unquote, is not sustainable. They also say that research shows that women in particular fall prey to this because women are expected to help out at the workplace, which is another bias thing. Be on your guard. It will become toxic for you, and then it becomes toxic for the rest of your team. So if this person is working or is bringing you down, you can't afford to let it continue. So when all else fails, it might be time to find a new job or to look for a transfer. I'm not sure if that's you finding a transfer, looking for another job, or whether the problematic person is like looking for a transfer, another job. But that's how it sums it up.
I think there's some really interesting stuff here. The idea of bringing somebody else in to talk about it as well, finding a new dynamic to bring into a team is interesting. Mixing up the chemistry within that team is often a good thing. And that can be done in a number of ways, right? You don't necessarily have to bring somebody in full-time to change the team. Just getting on board on like a Zoom call sometimes and a discussion with somebody else who's not necessarily higher up in the hierarchy of the business or the company, but just somebody from a different team perhaps, to like, you know, somebody you can bring in and say, can you help us out with a couple of ideas on this, often is enough to kind of jostle people around.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? To kind of get them to reset and reevaluate what they're doing. Really interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all at some point in our careers been with somebody who is underperforming, or and like you say, a lot of the times it is a phase that they go through, and especially now, I think a lot of people who wouldn't necessarily have been slackers before might be seen as being slackers during what's happening right now, because it's a big mental thing, right? And people are struggling with a lot of things, and you can see how people you've looked up to before have just really gone on this kind of mental decline.
Yep.
You know, and I feel bad for a lot of people. I know people at home who have worked like crazy for years and years and years and years, and then this thing has hit, and all of a sudden I'm like, I don't even recognize this person anymore.
Mm-hmm. But I think, as with a lot of other conflicts, especially in the workplace, I think it keeps going back to communication and clarity, right? Because, you know, stuff like, for example, you know, talking to your colleagues, making sure that, you know, their lives are kind of all right, that, you know, there is stuff that they could, you know, maybe need help with in the workplace that you could maybe help out with if they are, for some reason or another, slacking because of something in their personal lives. The thing I don't agree with, though, is the performance review point. Of bringing that up in the performance review, because I kind of feel like that's leaving it a bit too far. And also, it kind of implies that you're escalating it before you've even talked to the colleague about
it. Yeah.
I kind of feel that should be like escalation should be the last measure, right? But like direct communication with them and trying to figure out, you know, where we can help and trying to get, you know, more people in to help brainstorm or whatever, that is helpful. I will also say, though, that point about, you know, women are more inclined towards covering for other people. I feel really called out. I've never, in the span of my career, I have not luckily encountered working with anyone that has been slacking off, quote unquote. But definitely when I was in school and in university, there are people who did not quite hold up the end of the bargain on group projects. And I would always initially try to talk to them, but sometimes, you know, that's not always possible.
Yeah.
You know, when they just ghost you on Facebook Messenger, and that's the only way you have of contacting them because they don't live in the same student town that you're in. Whatever, that's not personal at all. But, you know, I would often find myself being the person, especially if I was in a majority like male group, being the person to chase up on them, to follow up, to cover for them, to organize things so that I'm doing twice the work. So it's one of those things where I think, you know, partially, yes, you know, the person who is doing the slacking off needs to take responsibility for their own workload as well. But the people around them need to be careful and need to be aware of, you know, not putting too much on their own plate, you know, if, you know, and maybe that would be the point where you would escalate it further or find someone to step in like a third party.
I wanted to also bring up the fact that there's this new, like, I wouldn't say like new train of thought, but over the last like 10, 15 years, there's this thing where if you are quote unquote slacker, or you're not performing as much, is it because you are actually lazy by default, or is it because you are not passionate about your job, or you're suffering from burnout? So that's a new, it's a thing that has popped up a lot in recent years. It's not something that would have been considered before, but I guess that's something that we'll explore like after the break. You know, whether being a slacker just means that this person isn't doing the job that they are meant to do, and maybe you can channel the energy in a, you know, in another way.
And you have an expert for us to speak to, right?
Hetal Doshi, yes, founder and CEO of OSike.
Hetal is on the phone and we will be with us shortly. The question we're asking you then is, what is your initial approach to working with a slacker? We have a few choices over on Twitter because we're running a poll. What are the options of?
The options are escalate to supervisor or HR, communicate directly, pick up their slack, or I'm the slacker.
There you go. Let us know if you're the slacker over on Twitter at BFM Radio. We're asking the same question over on Instagram. And on WhatsApp as well, 018-789-8899. Let us know there. We've got a couple of responses already. We're going to take a short break with some music from Donovan with Universal Soldier. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here on BFM 89.9.
Being first matters. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
Talking about slackers today. What's your initial approach to working with a slacker? You can let us know via Twitter if you want to vote. That's at BFM Radio. Same question on Instagram. And of course, get us on WhatsApp if you need to. What are the numbers so far, Arv?
So the numbers are at 44.5% saying communicate directly. And just next to that at 28.5% is I'm the slacker.
Oh, interesting.
16.8% escalate to supervisor HR and 10%, small 10% for pick up their slack.
I would be curious for the people who voted I'm the slacker, who are serious about it, to kind of let us know what goes into that mindset and that mentality a little bit. You know, why if you're aware of it, are you not
picking up the slack? What have we got over on Instagram, Chris?
On Instagram, we don't have a poll. We just have an open-ended question. KJude22 says that they would apprehend the slacker.
Ooh. Apprehend.
Apprehend.
Citizen's arrest.
And PDX3156 says that they would pick up the slack.
Okay, a couple of messages. These are anonymous. And they say, working with a slacker, it's excruciating if managing one or working on the same project or team. Use appropriate HRM interventions to remedy. The last straw is to end the employment. Would even give however many months compensation and end suffering on both sides. Sometimes it's a bad job fit that causes slacking. Mm-hmm. Contract work also makes it easier to end the relationship. But that also means a lot of people who come in on contract works don't actually want to be there. They just want to be making a little bit of cash. I've seen this happen over in the UK. Another one, people whose work performance is temporarily problematic are not slackers. All these suggestions to help them out would solve the problem, but real slackers are permanent. They usually don't want to change. As a co-worker, I learn to live with it, but do my best to safeguard my own position and portfolio. If I were an employer, I'd let him or her know that I'm aware of the situation, counsel him or her, and allow 1 month for him or her to buck up, failing which they'd have to move on to another company. I have to be fair to the rest of the team and the health of the business. Thank you very much for that. That's some of the suggestions that we've got. Keep them coming in, of course. But on the line with us right now, it's Hetal Doshi, founder and CEO of OSike.
Yeah, so Hetal, we just want to ask you, like, first things first, how can someone identify if they are working with a quote-unquote slacker or someone who doesn't share equal workload?
A slacker is someone who would fulfill at least 2 out of 3 of the following criteria. First, someone who avoids work, responsibility, and or effort. Secondly, is someone who cannot be relied on to complete a job or complete a job well. Thirdly, it also refers to someone who tends to be very apathetic, unmotivated, unmotivated, and somewhat purposeless. In identifying what a slacker is, what can sometimes go wrong are 2 things. Number one, it's called the fundamental attribution error, meaning when you're assessing that person, you might be assessing that person's personality as a source of their non-performance or poor performance or avoidance of performance rather than the person's situational context. So being very mindful of whether it is the context of the situation versus whether it is the person itself is a very important note to take. The second thing that can go wrong when it comes to assessing a slacker is something called the Cunning-Druger effect. Cunning-Druger effect is a bias that human beings tend to have when we compare ourselves with each other. In this biasness, what has been demonstrated over a period of time through all kinds of research is that human beings tend to over-evaluate their capabilities or their performance as compared to others, which means that sometimes we feel that we're doing more, we're doing better than somebody else. So it's quite valuable to make sure that you take a very data-driven or evidence-based approach towards evaluating whether or not or to what extent you experience the slackness in this individual.
Hi, Ethel. So, next, how can they communicate this to the person? Or is it better to escalate it to HR?
It is always valuable and recommended to have a conversation with somebody that you are challenged by or experiencing challenges with at the onset of the challenge itself. Now, when having conversations like this, it can be very triggering both for you and the other person. And so it is very highly recommended that you constantly ensure that you keep the conversation psychologically safe, number one. Number two, to keep the conversation very outcome-oriented, meaning that this is all about us performing as a team to the highest level of standards and also having a very healthy relationship throughout the experience of having to perform. And third of all, recommitting to what it is that you both hope to be able to commit to with regards to the outcome that you want. During the conversation itself, a very important thing to look out for is whether or not the person is ready and willing to actually have this conversation. If you feel that the person is not willing and not ready, be mindful and express to the person that these conversations may be challenging at times and that you are ready to pursue this conversation at a better time or when the person feels much better or is in a better space to have this conversation. But this conversation needs to take place and that you hope that you would hear that from that person within the next few days. Going to HR wouldn't be an option at an early stage. However, keeping your boss informed about the particular situation and making a request to your boss to be roped into the next conversation should this ever happen again would be quite valuable. Managing the mental and emotional load of a non-performing peer can be too much for you. And so it is quite valuable that while you may have had tried a couple of times that it could be quite valuable to include your superior who should really be the one managing performance or non-performance in subsequent conversations.
So, Hadel, there's also the issue of empathy during this time. Is it possible that some people are quote-unquote slacking due to burnout?
So, there are a plethora of reasons as to why people could be perceived as slacking or non-performing in general or especially during really challenging situations like this COVID-19 pandemic. Typically, we would categorize causes as external or internal. External causes are factors outside of the person, such as the environment that they are in right now, the task difficulty, the level of support, or the working conditions. Internal causes would be factors inside a person, living inside a person, such as the ability to perform, having the skills, knowledge, and also the motivation to perform. Now, there are three factors to be able to identify the type of non-performance cause. One would be distinctiveness, the second, consistency, and the third, consensus. Now, distinctiveness is the degree to which an employee performs well on task, right? So it could be really that the person is performing well across a range of tasks, but not on a particular task. Or it could be that the person is not performing well on across all tasks. So you want to be able to check in on tasks or the range of tasks. The second thing would be to check in on consistency, meaning how well the employee performs on similar tasks across a period of time, meaning this person was able to perform well before but not now, or was this person not able to perform before and now and also throughout a period of time that you've known the person. And thirdly, it would be around consensus, meaning how other employees are performing on the similar task that you are looking at. If it is the case that majority of employees are not performing well, you definitely want to look at managerial support, managerial guidance or environmental conditions. It couldn't be that everybody is performing badly at the same time and that it is their fault. It would be an external reason. And so you'd want to look at distinctiveness of the task, consistency in that task, and consensus, meaning other people who are performing in that task as to the reasons as to why the person could be performing poorly or non-performing or slacking in this particular piece of work.
Mm-hmm. So for people who feel like they're not doing enough at work due to burnout or a variety of reasons, what can they do to rectify the issue?
I think for people who are feeling guilty that you're not doing enough, a couple of things that you could do is to, number one, diagnose what is really, really happening with you right now. Using the job demand control support model, you could identify, is the reason why you're not performing to your best because of the demands that are on you? That are perceived. It doesn't have to be real. It could be something that's perceived, yeah? Are the demands on you perceived to be higher? The second thing would be, do you perceive that you have control? And the third thing is, do you perceive that you have enough support? The last thing that I would add on to this model of demand control support would be the effort reward, meaning for the amount of effort that you're putting in, are the rewards or the recognition coming in equally? For you to build that energy momentum of you wanting to continue to work as hard as you are. So the first thing would be to diagnose what is might be the reason as to why you feel that you are not able to perform at your level best. The second thing would be to really filter out what you can control or can do and what you can no longer control and can no longer do. Remember in times like this, the COVID pandemic is really pushing us to let go of some things and to let come other things. And so in light of that, as human beings experiencing this, we too need to let go of things that we can no longer cope with or no longer entertain, and then focus on what it is that we can continue to going forward. The third thing would be to have an open, empathetic, curious conversation with your boss or team members about this particular experience and ask them whether they might be feeling the same way as well, and to then also state clear intentions that you want to be a performer, you want to be a great partner in the team, but also to say, you know, to negotiate and make requests and get everyone to recommit to what it is that you can and you can no longer do in these kind of situations. It is a recurring theme that there is no such thing as health without mental health. And as a psychologist, there's no such thing as performance without health and mental health. And so making sure that you take care of your health, your mental health, and to recommit based on what it is that you can do is something that you deserve to be doing as a protector of your spirit and your body and your mental health in these times. And it is okay to be having these conversations. In fact, it might be a huge relief when you decide to have these conversations with others. And even more so, you might be very surprised to hear what other people might be saying about their experiences and also how they might be able to lend you support. And through this, you might even be magically surprised to have even more support and a renewed sense of motivation to continue to perform as an individual or as a team.
Final question then, Hetal. Do you think the term slacker itself is outdated in this context? Because there's some thought experts that believe that laziness is just a lack of motivation or a lack of passion.
Labeling someone, especially negatively, doesn't help the situation. It doesn't help the person. And it doesn't help you. Now, if a particular word or terminology can have a triple negative effect, then it would be best not to utilize it. In a particular situation like this, we would definitely just say that the person is not performing at the standards which are required or that have been agreed or committed towards, and that it is very valuable to have a conversation to deeply understand what is the story behind this behavior. In all organizations, there have been a huge amount of investments to hire, select, develop employees. Once they are within the organization, the ultimate intent would always be to figure out how we can continue to revive each other and take each other to greater heights. There will be times where we are at our highest performance. There'll be times where we are at a lower performance. There'll be some people who are very consistently performing all the time. The point of experiencing people or situations like this is a huge opportunity for all of us to rally around, conversations to be able to distill and unfold the human experience and to utilize this as a source of increased or enhanced relationships between each other. And a hopeful opportunity to take our performance to better heights. Because the alternative is to label the person and get the person to leave. And before you know it, you'll have another similar experience. So why not we take this opportunity to have deeper conversations and ones that could surprise us or could be magical and maybe even take our performance to higher levels. Regardless if this person needs to exit, they do, but at least we have done it in a dignified, a humane manner, one where it has been, at the very least, an enriching learning experience for everybody.
Thank you very much. That was Hetal Doshi, the founder and CEO of OSyc. Right, we're going to have to wrap up because we have run out of time for this segment, but I've got one quick message here just before we take a quick break from Michael, who says it's happened to him two or three times during his first 5 to 8 years at work. He's tried talking to and helping them. After that, he's always asked his manager to assign him the slackers, a scope which affects his job. They've eventually left. There you go. Okay, thanks for that, Michael. Again, the question that we are asking you today is, what is your initial approach to working with a slacker? Do let us know. Voting over on Twitter. Same question on Instagram. And, of course, like Michael if you want to get in touch. 018-789-8899. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. I love rock and roll here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.